Well, amen. Good to see you on this July the 4th as we prepare for more festivities tomorrow night. Starting early in the afternoon here at Cottonwood. Hopefully you'll come back. I want to invite you to reach and grab your copy of God's Word and open to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Scott had read the passage earlier, and I want to bring you a message today entitled, A Face of Grace Reaches Out to Those Who Are Considered Untouchable. And so we are, as we've been preaching through this series, and I close it today, we've been looking at a series entitled The Faces of Grace. In other words, we've been looking at encounters that Christ had with those that many in society considered to be untouchables and how Christ responded to them. Now, as we close this series, I want to go ahead and take time to promote next Sunday morning. I want to invite everybody to be here. Brian Birdbell, will be here sharing his testimony. Brian was in the Pentagon back on 9/11 when it was struck. One of the engines went right through his office area. He was thrown from the second floor to the first floor, burns over two-thirds of his body, and says he was saved literally by the grace of God. And so I would invite you to be back next Sunday morning to hear him share his testimony and share a message of God's grace. But as we look at Matthew chapter 8 and we close this series this week, I want to talk to us and challenge us as a church and challenge us as believers to be willing to be like Christ. How many of you know that part of the call of the believer is to be like Christ? My guess is at least all of us at some point have heard someone say, you know what, we need the mind of Christ, right? We need to be like Christ. I want to learn to pray like Christ. I want to learn to have faith like Christ. We all know we want to be like Christ, but the reality of it is, if we truly are going to be like Christ, we have to be willing to touch the untouchables. We have to be willing to engage those society calls an untouchable. And here's what I also know. My guess is that there are those in here that you have some of the untouchables in society in your family. Maybe your immediate family or extended family or your extended family. There are untouchables around you that you work with or you live next to or go to school with. And the reality of it is, for many, they are considered untouchables. I want you to know some of the issues I'm going to talk about today may well make you uncomfortable, which is okay. And I want you to know that on a national scale, how many of you know it's kind of election season? Anybody, have you picked up on that at all? That there are some things that we as believers, as God's children, nationally, politically, we need to fight for. We need to fight for tooth and nail, right? We need to, but on a personal level, we need to extend grace. So there's a different way we handle things. And talking on a national level, there are some things that we stand firm on, we battle with, but when we engage with somebody that seems to be somewhat of an untouchable for those who are in the church or in the faith, that we have a different measure of grace. We have a face of grace. If you just look around in our political season, there's a lot at stake right now. There's a lot at stake. Who's going to be the next president that gets to choose the Supreme Court nominee that's really going to set the direction for the Supreme Court for a generation to come? We get to make those choices. If you are in, and I say that facetiously, into looking at the news, there are a couple of national hot issues. Transgender, all over the news media. It's amazing what is taking place today and some of the edicts our president has issued. There are probably those in here that you know someone. But the reality of it is, as much as it's talked about in the most recent survey, most recent poll, those who consider themselves transgender, it's about 0.3% of our country. Very small group, but getting major headlines. You add the homosexual movement in there. That's somewhere about 1.6%. So you add those two groups together, about 2% perhaps and maybe. There are other untouchable issues. Abortion. Over half of all abortions in our country are take place when a lady is in their 20s, between 20 and 29 years old, over half. And here's what I know. There, if you add those three groups together, just those three groups together, probably everybody in this room knows someone or might secretly be dealing with one of those issues. If you add divorce in the mix, we know that hits us all. And so today I want to talk to us about being the face of grace. Nationally, we can do some different things. We can argue, we can fight, we can battle, and we can stand firm. But personally, we need to be a face of grace. Now, when I talk about Jesus and his encounter with the leper, I want to let you know up front a couple of things. Jesus didn't become a leper to save the leper. How many of you understand that? He didn't become a leper, nor did Jesus leave the man a leper after he encountered him. So those are kind of some thoughts that we need to have in our mindset. We are going to see that Jesus touched him. We are going to see that Jesus talked to him. We are going to see that Jesus crossed some religious barriers to reach out to him. But we're also going to understand that Jesus never became a leper. He didn't chastise him for his leprosy. He didn't harp on his leprosy. He just said, "I'm willing." Because that was the question. If you are willing to heal me or make me clean, I believe you can. Jesus gave three words: "I am willing." For us, when it comes to those untouchables in our lives, I want you to know that I believe if we're going to be like Christ, we also have to be willing to say, "I am willing." I'm willing to do what? I'm willing to touch. I'm willing to talk. I'm willing to communicate. I'm willing to help them. I'm willing to cross some barriers to make sure they see a face of grace. Let me give you two overarching themes that are going to come out of this message today. Hopefully, these will be embedded in your heart. Thought number one is this: there is a universal need for love and grace by all humanity. There's a universal need. I want you to know that regardless of how long you've been in church, regardless of how long I've been pastoring, I'm only saved by grace. None of us in here, regardless of how good our lifestyle is or how moral our lifestyle is or how separated our lifestyle is, none of us have ever earned God's love. None of us have ever earned God's grace. None of us have ever gotten to a place where we've got it all together that God looked down at us one day and said, "John Mark, you've done it. I can't believe it. You've achieved salvation on your own." No. None of us are believers and are Christians and are God's children apart from all of God's grace. How many of us understand that? Now, some of us may not have the public sins. We might not have the sin of the day that is all over the media. That's such a big. That may not have been our sin. When I was growing up, sins were different. They were different, right? I mean, different things, and we all grew up in different seasons and different decades. And you know, luckily, I was there in the '80s when all the good music was made. And then this junk today, right? How many of you have ever said or heard said, "What's wrong with kids these days?" Right? I remember my parents said that, and I was their kid. Right? And guess what? Now I'm saying that, and I have kids. The reality of it is we all need grace. Politically, man, there's a lot going on today that I think is detrimental to society and is going to destroy a generation when we start saying, "That's okay, and that's okay, and that's okay, and that's okay, and that's okay." I want you to know, nationally, politically, there are some things that we fight for, but on an individual and a personal level, we have to learn to be like Christ. So thought number one is this: there is a universal need for love and grace by all of humanity. Thought number two is this: Jesus' example of how to reach out to an untouchable has to challenge us. It has to challenge us. I just made a list this week and of those that we might consider to be untouchable. And here's what I want you to ask as I read this list off. want you to ask yourself, who are the untouchables in my life? Who are the untouchables in my life? Who are the untouchables for our church? I want you to know churches sometimes develop an aura about them, right? That boy, if you want to go to that church, if you want to come to this church, you better get it all together. You better shake the dust off. You better get rid of the leprosy, and then you're welcome to join us. And I want you to know that when we think about Christ, and one of the first things that Christ did, and we're going to see it here in a few minutes, after he healed the leper, he said, go to the priest. Why do you go to the priest? So you can get back into the community of faith, so you can get back into the faith. I want you to know, when it comes to these untouchables, even if they're still struggling in their sin, the best place for them to be is here, not out there. Does that make sense? The best place for someone that is struggling with a sin, whether it's secret or whether it's public, is here in a place of grace, not out there. Because there is going to be no truth out there, and there is going to be no grace, real grace out there. But here are some untouchables that I just made a list. Those who are struggling with homosexual tendencies should be a place of grace. And my guess is there are some here that may even have struggled with that or are struggling with that today. This is a place of grace. There are some here who have those in their family that are struggling with that. It's a face of grace. Transgender. Those who are post-abortive. I want you to know, probably in here, there is a lady or two that is struggling with the decision they made 10 or 12 years ago. Privately, it's a place of grace. And as you just go down the list, divorce. Boy, today, somebody with a different religion, someone who's an atheist or an agnostic, someone that doesn't speak well of God, someone of a different race or nationality, or someone who's homeless, addicted to alcohol or drugs, someone who's committed adultery. Whatever it is, I want you to know that Jesus' encounter with this leper challenges us to be the face of grace. You heard Scott read that story a few minutes ago of Jesus' encounter. Let me give you four thoughts. And if you're new to the church, here's the way I preach. We have a passage. I pull out my points directly from the passage. That's called expositional teaching. That keeps me from preaching what I want to preach and teaching what I want to teach. Instead, I teach what the Bible tells me to teach. That also means there's going to come a day when I'm going to preach on your sin and you blame God, not me. That keeps me honest, but it also keeps the truth coming at us. So let me give you four thoughts. They're coming from four verses, four points. Thought number one on this passage about reaching an untouchable. Ready? Number one, Jesus' attraction and his circle of influence. Let's look at Jesus' attraction and his circle of influence. In Matthew chapter 8, here's what it says. When Jesus came down from the mountainside. All right, let me just stop there because I want to put this passage in context with you. Why was Jesus on a mountain? Well, to really know what Jesus was doing on that mountain, and notice it says, and the large crowd, we have to go back to chapter 7, then we have to go back to chapter 6, then we have to go back to Matthew chapter 5. How many of you know what sermon was preached in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7? It's the Sermon on the... That's good. All right, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. As a matter of fact, in the original language, it's not translated here, but there's an idea within the original language of immediately. So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, he went up on a hillside. A large crowd gathered about him. Jesus went up on a mountainside and began to teach. Remember how he started? With things like the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed, 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 blessed. And then Jesus taught about adultery. He talked about lying. He talked about money. He talked about disciples truly being salt and light so they may see your good works and glorify the Father. He talked about practicing your religious piety only to be seen by men. Jesus talked all of that. And then he came to the latter part of Matthew chapter 7, and he closed with an illustration. Remember the illustration? It was about a house being built. It said the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Remember, it says the rains came and the wind blew and the house fell with a great crash. He said that person was like the person who heard the words of Christ but did not do them. He said, on the other hand, there was a wise man. He built his house upon the rock. The same rains came, and the same winds blew, and the same floods rose, but that house stood. That guy was compared to the one who heard the word and did the word. So the point that Jesus, as he's walking down the mountain, is all this crowd has just heard Jesus preach, the greatest preacher that ever lived, preach the greatest sermon that anyone has ever heard. And now the crowd is kind of following Jesus down the mountain. And Jesus does exactly what his last illustration of the Sermon on the Mount does. He puts his words into practice. He puts his words into practice. And so the challenge for us today is to understand that this message is not over. The message of Christ to the leper is not over until we hear the words and go do them. How many of you understand that? That if Jesus, these are Jesus' words. If you're mad about what I'm about to say, email Jesus. Okay? Jesus said, if you leave here and don't put these words into practice, you're a fool. You're a fool. Sadly and unwittingly, I think many times many believers and many churches are foolish in the way we do ministry because we don't put the words of Christ into practice. Man, we come in here and we sing about God's grace, and some of us, let's be honest, some of us, when we talk about grace, unending grace, we think of our own lives and our own past and our own heart, and we think, that's some grace. The grace was needed, right? Here, if you know anything about my story, I've told you before, you've heard my sweet wife, she's told you, my wife wanted nothing to do with me until I was about 27, all right? And I'll tell you, if there had been Twitter and Facebook and video when I was growing up, I wouldn't be your pastor. I was that kind of guy. My wife, how many of you know those people, if you grew up in youth? My wife, I think she was Mother Teresa growing up. She never did anything wrong. She was the super one. We, if you don't know, if you haven't heard this story, my wife and I grew up together. So we were in the same youth group together. Apparently, I didn't hear the same message she heard. All right? And man, you know, I remember from time to time youth pastors or an evangelist would come in and say, you know, sin just isn't fun. And my thought was this, he's choosing the wrong sin because the ones I'm into, pretty good, right? Right? And the reality of it is, here's the sad thing. All of those things I did while I was a believer. And still the grace of God. And the truth is, there are times when believers commit sins and struggle with things. Sometimes it's a lost world, it's a dying world, that they need grace. They need the gospel message to begin with. But sometimes it's believers that have made mistakes, that they need the gospel and they need grace. And man, some of y'all, you've been a straight shooter all your life, and God bless you. Keep it up. But there are times that we need to understand Jesus had his circle of influence, the people he had influenced, and what he was doing is he was putting the Sermon on the Mount into practice immediately. He wanted to show them, and I pray that we'll do the same thing. It says, when Jesus came down from preaching the Sermon on the Mount, large crowds followed him. That's thought number one. Jesus had a circle of influence. Listen, I want you to know, we are the circle of influence. Here's thought number two. You ready? Jesus acknowledges an approaching untouchable. He acknowledges an approaching untouchable. And I want you to know, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. The only acknowledgement that this leper had had since the time he was deemed to be a leper was the acknowledgement by the legalists or the Pharisees that you have leprosy. And they would oftentimes, a Pharisee would begin to quote Leviticus to him. We're going to look at it here in a second. Don't go there yet. They'd begin to quote and they would say, unclean, unclean. They would point him out. And let me tell you what, there was a certain look, a certain posture that a leper had to have if he was even going to communicate with someone that didn't have leprosy. See, once a person was deemed to have leprosy, they were told, first of all, you leave society. They were not even allowed to come into the walls of the city. You have to stay away from your family. You have to live alone. You have to do all of those things. And so notice, Jesus just acknowledges him. An approaching untouchable. He says, a man with leprosy. So here you have Jesus coming down the mountain. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. My guess is, here's what had happened. This leper who had been outside the community and outside the community of faith, and see, part of being a leper meant they were not allowed to go to church. They were not allowed to show up at the temple or show up in the synagogue. They were never allowed to do anything. And if a teacher, a rabbi was teaching and a leper were to have gotten too close, they would have told them to get away. The Pharisees would have spotted them and driven them away. We call those deacons and ushers in the church, right? They'd have said, get back. The grace of God is being talked about and we don't want any sinners here, right? Just want the saints. Seems hilarious, doesn't it? But isn't that the way we operate today a lot of times? Boy, you take an untouchable, you take someone with a sin, you take someone with a certain sin, and we really want them to stay away until they get that fixed up before they show up. And so a man with leprosy came and knelt down before Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. Look at Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45. Let me tell you what this man had been doing before he had the courage to approach Jesus. Says, anyone with such a defiling disease, this is talking about leprosy, you can go read all of Leviticus chapter 13, must wear torn clothes. They had to go shabby clothes. Why? Because they wanted to make sure you stood out. You and your sorry condition stood out. Because if you're walking down the road or you're walking up to a group of people or perhaps it was at night and there were a group of people gathered around the fire, they wanted you to walk up and before you got close enough, they wanted you to stop and say, hey, there's something wrong with those people. And so they had to wear torn clothes, defiling clothes. They had to wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they would remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. So here's what probably had happened. Jesus, when he began to teach on the mountainside, and he was beginning to teach to the crowd and talk to the large crowd that had gathered, this leper probably at a certain point heard from a distance and stood at a distance. And as Jesus began to talk and began to share, that leper began to ease in. That leper began to ease in. That leper began to ease in. And my guess is at a certain point, that leper said, man, I would love to have some of that knowledge. I would love to have some of that grace. And then if you can think about it, Jesus and this crowd begins to make their way down the mountain. And this leper is sitting there going, should I? Should I? Should I? And I want you to know what could have happened had this leper approached and not received the healing that he got from Christ. He could have been stoned. But he approached Jesus and he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man had been living alone. He wasn't invited to church. He wasn't allowed to come to church. Let me tell you what, this guy wouldn't even been invited to our church on Easter or Christmas Eve. And let me tell you what, that's the way the Pharisees liked it. That's the way the legalists liked it. Let me give you a third thought. Jesus not only acknowledged him, had a circle of influence, but Jesus engaged the untouchable. Jesus engaged him. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. This is the next point. It says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I will tell you, remember that crowd that was following Jesus down the mountain? There would have been a collective gasp. What is about to happen here is Jesus, a rabbi, really going to touch the leper. And everybody just paused with a silent gasp. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. And then notice what Jesus said. He said, I am willing. I want you to know, when it comes to the untouchables in society, the untouchables in our life, if we want to be like Christ, we have to learn those three words. I am willing. Church, if we are going to be like Christ, we have to learn those three words. Let me change it. We are willing. If you haven't noticed, if you haven't walked out the back lately, we're putting in some sand volleyball courts. I want you to know my prayer for those courts is that the untouchables in our society will come and play on those courts, so that we can engage with them, we can acknowledge them, we can deliver God's grace to them and God's love to them. And somehow, some way, those untouchables who are only willing because they've only been felt welcome to come to play volleyball will someday show up in here next to you, and you're going to touch a leper's hand. And you're going to acknowledge them, you're going to love them. But the reality of it is, more than that, you may have these lepers in your house. But there's a natural tendency, the closer and further we get in with our faith and into study of Bible and into our life groups, what do? We begin to talk about how we can distance ourselves from the untouchables in society and the untouchables in life. Well, I don't hang around them because, you know, they've been through a divorce and they've been through this. And, you know, I don't hang around that person because, you know, he drinks a little too much and they do a little bit too this. And you know what? I'm definitely not hanging around them. I'm not 100% sure they're not a Democrat. And Lord knows we don't want that, right? You laugh. That idea is in this room, right? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm preaching now. It hurts. Just go back to those other sins, Pastor. And the reality of it is we love those who are like us, right? Can I share with you? Remember that sermon I was talking about a while ago, the Sermon on the Mount? You remember that one I was talking about? Can I share with you, when we only love those who are like us, can I tell you what Jesus says we're like? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Put it up on the screen. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Don't even the tax collectors do that? That makes us like a tax collector. He says, and if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? So let me ask you a question. If all we do is greet our own people, you're a pagan. Remember I said, we want to say, I want to be like Jesus, right? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Remember that? How many of you remember the shirts and the bands, all of that good stuff? Come on, y'all remember that a little bit. Jesus says, if we quarantine ourselves off from the untouchables in society and only greet those who meet our moral standards, we're acting just like pagans. Whoa. So you mean the church that only cloisters up with a bunch of spiritual holy people, and if you have spiritual leprosy or if you're an untouchable, if you have a disease, you are not welcome here? That is not a holy church. That is a pagan church. And a Sunday school or a life group is the same way. If we are not presenting an opportunity for a face of grace to touch them. Here's number four. You ready? Jesus instructs the untouchable. Now remember, I told you as I started this sermon, and be careful because I want you to hear this clearly. Yes, Jesus engages a leper, but he doesn't become a leper, right? Nor does Jesus leave the leper a leper. There are times, and you see it in a lot of mainline denominations, a lot of people, that's why I tell you, I preach verse by verse, scripture by scripture, passage by passage. That causes me to deal with every topic. If it's in there, it's like that old commercial, Prego or whatever it was. If it's in there, I'm going to teach it. There are some people that, man, we have said, hey, listen, we're going to now, because it's politically in favor, even though they, quote, are preachers of the Bible, they will accept that sin. I want you to know, Jesus touched the leper, but he didn't leave the leper a leper, right? The whole point of God's grace is change. So Jesus didn't become a leper to save the leper, and he didn't leave the leper a leper. He changed him. So let's look at it. It says, then Jesus said to him, so Jesus healed him. He says, see that you don't tell anyone. That oftentimes presents some confusion for people, because several times Jesus said that. Here's what Jesus was essentially doing. Jesus was essentially saying, I don't want my ministry to be about miracles. That's why I will tell you from time to time, if you're watching on TV, some people's ministries are all about miracles. It's interesting to me that Jesus did perform miracles, but his ministry wasn't about miracles. His ministry was about God's grace to a lost and dying humanity that needs love and mercy. And so as you look, Jesus said, see to it that you don't tell anyone. He says, but instead, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Why did Jesus want him to go to the priest? So that he could get back into the community. So one of the key things that we need to let people understand and let people know, that if they're an untouchable, the best thing that can happen is for them to head to God's grace. Let me tell you what. If you leave the lost and the untouchable to the world, guess what? They're going to only get more lost and more untouchable, right? So who has the opportunity to engage with them most? They're sitting right in here. Let me give you four practical steps on how to reach the untouchable in your life. And I even put it in an acrostic. You may recognize this word. It's kind of a church word. It's kind of a Jesus word. It's an acrostic around the word save. S-A-V-E. How many of you ever heard that word before? You've been in church? For by grace you have been. That word. All right? So as you go out of here, and if there's an untouchable in your life, here it is. But before we even get to the S or S-A-V-E, I want to give you some scriptures. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, go to the next. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save, right, the untouchable. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and one who is wise does what? Are you smart? Are you wise? Then you'll save lives. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. In the original language, that says, as you are going, those you are already in contact with. He says, as you are going, what? As you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, we give them the grace of God, the love of God. We baptize them. We save them. Then we begin to teach them how God would have them live. So here are the four ideas. You ready? If you want to touch and reach out to the untouchables in your life, this. S. First of all, we have to remember and see our own past sins. We have to see our own past sins. We have to be honest about it. Regardless of how long ago it was that you considered yourself living like the world, you have to acknowledge that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have to acknowledge there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us were good enough where God looked down and said, John Mark, you did it. You made it. It didn't happen. We have to acknowledge our past sins. I think too many times, and sometimes people come into God's house and come into God's church, and we carry an air of we've got it all together. And man, someone who is lost, someone is struggling with homosexuality or struggling through a divorce, or maybe they're post-abortive or there's something like that, they think, man, as soon as I walk in there, they're going to look down on me. So if we're really going to engage with the untouchables in our life, we have to be honest about our past sin. Here's a second thought. You ready with the A? Ask God to prepare your heart. Ask God to prepare your heart. And I want you to know, when I preach this to you, I'm preaching this to me. I'm preaching this to me. Because I'll tell you what, there's some things on that list that I talked about that when I think, when I even just have the thought of really engaging with some of the people like that, that are untouchable, boy, I struggle with it. Can I just be that honest? I struggle with it. There are certain sins I understand. There are certain ones that I just don't get. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I just don't. And if I'm going to be the untouchable in that person's life, especially that one that I really struggle with, I have to ask God what? To prepare my heart. Say, God, change my heart, prepare my heart, get my heart right with you so I can do what? So if the first one, if the S, that's about being honest about our past sin, this one is about this. Getting my heart like Christ. Here's the V, ready? Value others beyond yourself. This is humility. Value others beyond yourself. This is going to create some time and some energy. It was kind of neat this morning. I walked in, and there's some folks that are always out here back in the back a little early. And so I always get the chance to talk. It's real quiet at the church, but they're here early reading their Bible, studying their Bible. Stop and say, hey, what are y'all doing for the 4th tomorrow? And the statement was made this. Says, well, we were going to come up here and watch the fireworks, but one of my lost friends I've been praying for asked me to come over and watch the fireworks with them, so I'm going there. And I thought, cool. I get your parking spot. No, you understand what I'm saying? If you sit there and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for someone who is lost, and man, God, you know, if we had a good pastor, that pastor would go visit my neighbor. God, seems to me that God moved you next to him. Man, we have to value others beyond ourselves. Here's the last thought. Engage the untouchables. Don't just talk about it. I think it's real easy in a church for us to talk about it. Man, we can say, boy, church, pastor, our church needs to reach more people with God's grace and God's love. We need to reach the lost people. We need to preach the gospel. We need to do all of that stuff. We all high-five each other and don't do anything else throughout the week. Remember, I use those words, don't just talk about it, to remind us of the context of this connection with the leper. What was the last illustration Jesus used? The wise man is the one who heard these words and did them. If you're going to be a face of grace, it's not just hearing, it's also doing. Let's bow our heads, and here's how I want to close. I'm going to ask Scott to come out. We're going to sing that song, Grace, one more time as we close out. It's one we carried as a theme through this whole series, The Face of Grace. Our altar team's going to be here, and if you're here today and you're struggling with one of those sins that I talked about or another one that I didn't even mention, this is a place of grace, unending grace, amazing grace, unfailing grace. Maybe there's someone in your life, in my life, in our family's lives, that we need to get our hearts right so we can touch the untouchable. and you want someone to pray with you, you come. Maybe you want to pray for someone else that truly needs the grace of God, you come. But I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to stand and sing, and our altar team's going to be here, and then we're dismissed to go be a face of grace, to touch an untouchable, not just talk about it, but do it. Father, my prayer is for your people here at Cottonwood, that we would embrace your Son's vision, that we would be more like Christ. And in being more like Christ, that means we're going to acknowledge the untouchable. We're going to engage with the untouchable. We're going to love the untouchable. We're going to help be a part of the process of making lepers clean and sinners saved by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.